అఖండమండలాకారం వ్యాప్తం యేన చరాచరం తత్పదం దర్శితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. హరి ఓం నమో భగవతే శ్రీరామకృష్ణాయ. సో వెల్కమ్ టు దిస్ ఆఫ్టర్నూన్ సెషన్. ఇట్ వాస్ very good occasion for me to come here and listen to Swami B. Actually, we learn ABC in this center. So still I have not heard Swami A speaking. Of course, it is reserved always. The best is reserved for the last, they say. So after this, Swami C also will be coming. So in between, I have a time, some time to share with you some thoughts on 5 tools to love him. Swami B was telling very beautifully the definition of true devotion and what a devotee must seek for. So his explanations and his description of a true yogi, true devotee, was indeed very marvelous, and I was enjoying his every sentence of his talk. And one thing that attracted me was that today only I came to know there is a Visheshwar who issues visa. Because I am still waiting for my visa for Ireland. So if only I had known, I would have actually went to Hyderabad, I would have gone to the temple also. So that's what a new thing I learned from him, that there is a Visha Iswar who is ready to grant you visa for any country. So that is a wonderful thing. Yes, Bhagavan can be worshipped in any ways. We think that there is a regular methodical worship introduced by our ancestors, by our rishis, and accordingly we follow. But there are new types of worships also can be invented and can be adapted. Do you know, a few years before, one deity in Hindu divinities was not known at all to anybody? Can you remember that? Santoshima. Yes. Santoshima. She was not known to anybody. And she was not in the Puranas also. Suddenly a new Puranas came as a daughter of Ganesha. And that Purana, that film took us, Jai Santoshima. And she became a deity. And people have, when our own devotees, when I ask, oh, today is Friday, Maharaj, I got a Santoshima puja. So, the new ways of adoration is permissible, and it is such a wonderful way that our minds can invent such new ways, and there's no problem in accepting this. But then ancient ways are also there. Till today, when we do puja of Lord in your home, you do a small arati. Arati is done. And that word means, it's a very beautiful Sanskrit word, Arati. A is the first portion and Rati. It comes from the root, Rath. Rath means to be immersed in, to be absorbed in, to be happy, blissful. That is called Rath. So one who is like that, that person is called Rati. So we know the word Rati because Manmatha and Rati, those stories, etc., we have seen. What is that? Rati means one who gives pleasure all the time. And it can be man or it can be woman. So Arati. So this Arati is all-round blissful, all-round pleasurable feeling that you get when you do Arati. So the Lord can be adored in the form of a simple ritual the ritual that has been coming to us from ages onwards. And that ritual, we all do that. In Ramakrishna Mission also, we had adopted that type of ritual, a simple ritual. We do arati. This arati is said to be, it is defined in different ways. For instance, Puranically speaking, the arati is said to adore the person. Now, philosophically speaking, it is representing the five elements of the primordial nature. So, Prakriti. Prakriti has got five elements. And so far we have not found out sixth element. But so far, as per the scriptures, there are five elements. And the five elements are used in worshipping the divine. So how it all started? Since today is Janmashtami, and a happy Janmashtami to every one of you, we like to think of Sri Krishna in this atmosphere. And you will find the source of this arati can be traced to Krishna's life. How beautifully it has been done by our ancients. Really, it is very mind-boggling to think how they can make up that these two things they put together, a Puranic way of explaining the arati and the Vedantic way of looking at arati. So when we learnt, when we came to ashram, when I joined in 1971, one Purananji was there in Kanpur. So he taught me puja and arati. So when arati was taught to me, he simply told me, you see, there is an explanation for this arati. And that arati explanation means that we take Vedic ways and mix it with tantric ways. So Vedic come tantric ways, they bring up a ritual, and that ritual is the Sandhyarati. So there are five items that we use in Sandhyarati. You know that one is light, another is water, another is cloth, another is pushpa, flower, and then you have chamar. So these are the five items we use. But what do they represent? Or simply we are doing it ritualistically without understanding anything. So as a brahmachari, I asked him, Maharaj, can you please explain to me what is this arati? Then he said, you see, this is, we can interpret it in this way, that the Lord is everywhere. The Lord created this universe. He became, or the supreme power, the Parameshwar, he became the five elements. And the five elements, by having a combination in different mixtures, became this vast universe. So if you say the five elements are mixed together, say Paltan, the first element you take 100%, second element 25%, third element 30%. Like that, in different percentage combinations, when you put together the five elements, it will come as one composition will become a mountain. Another composition will be river. Another composition will be human. Another composition will be a cat. Another composition will be an ant. So different composition of these five elements in different structures of different percentages are this visible universe. So this universe is very vastly different from one to another. There are many objects out there. How these objects differ? It is only because the elements are differing in that object. So if we accept that, for instance, for the sake of argument, then these five elements, primordial elements, as they are called, they are in 100% all the five elements. They are there. That means the Srishti has come to a stop. if there is a slightest variation of the percentage and they mix up, then the Srishti begins. So all the five items are only that Parameshwar has become. So it is fitness, in fitness of things, that we have to give back those five elements to the Lord. So these five elements are used. So first is light. Light comes from fire. So fire is the first element we are using. After that, immediately we give water. Dousing the fire, water is required. We all know how the firefighters douse the fire with water. So the fire is over, water has to be used. Once water element is over, then you have to bring the cloth. The cloth is representing Akasha. You know, if you take a cloth and see the cloth, all threads only are there. This appears to be a completely covered one. Actually, it is not so. These are all very tightly taken, the threads put together, this cloth has come. But even though they are tightly kept, there is space everywhere. Between the threads, there is space. So the space represents the third element. And then fourth element comes flower. Flower does not grow on the sky. It comes from the earth. So flower represents the earth. And then comes the charmer. Charmer, because when you fan it, the wind goes. The wind comes. You activate the wind. It is not that air is not there. Air is there. But you are not activated. Air is dumb. So when you take the charmer and do like this, the wind power is activated. So all the five elements you take and give upasana. You use it for upasana. But this may be a philosophical explanation did not satisfy me. I used to think, no, for a devotee, as a devotional man, I cannot accept this type of explanation. They may be, however, maybe intellectually may be satisfying, but it's very simple to say five elements of the primordial element, that Prakriti, are offered. Okay, I said, and why I should offer? What is the necessary for me to offer God's own? It is His creation. I am part of that creation, and I am offering Him one item. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I was wondering, there must be something beyond this. Can there be any other meaning? So I was wondering, and after a long time, I got some message related to Sri Krishna. How God, even though all present, everywhere present, and all are omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, the three qualities we say about God. If anyone has got these three qualities, that entity, that X, can be given the term God, not otherwise. So if you say somebody has God, then that God, that three nature must be there. Omnipresence, omnipotent, and omniscient. All the three must be there. So if that type of God is to be worshipped, should be adored, because we are talking about devotion. So as a devotee, I want to adore Him. I want to love Him. What are the tools for me to love Him? So I will trace a simple story to Sri Krishna, because this Krishna is to me. Krishna was being brought up, you know, by Yashoda, not by Devaki. Devaki gave birth to Krishna. But that's why she is called Devaki Paramanandam. The supreme bliss of Devaki attained, not Yashoda. Because Devaki, the problem after her talk, you know, as Swamiji was telling, so when you put it in words, then there are some mistakes you are apt to make. You know, Devaki's previous birth, if you go there, she has been 1,000 years she was doing penance. What was her purpose? Her desire was Lord Hari should be born as her son. Oh Lord, you must be born to me as my son. This was the prayer. And then Lord appeared. Vishnu appeared. Mahavishnu said, Devaki, I am very happy. That her name was not Devaki at that time. In this birth only Devaki. So, said, I am very happy with your devotion. What do you want? She said, Lord, you are Antaryami. You stay in my heart. You know everything. Why should I tell you what I want? You know, so you fulfill my desire. Lord said, no. You know, if you go to your boss and tell him, and tell I want to leave, will he accept it? So put it in writing. Send an application. So in the application, you have to give the reason. And while writing the reason, you simply say, my grandmother has passed away. And the next day, grandmother rings up, your boss. So all types of mistakes can happen. What you will write, you don't know. Because you don't know what to write. And when you write it, it means, what is your thought? When you put it in words, the strength of the thought is reduced. You tell your own son, I love you, my son. That essence of your love towards your son is reduced in words. And that means the words cannot exactly convey what you feel inside. That's why some of our feelings cannot be expressed. As Swamiji said, what that Narada Maharishi told, he said, Mukaha. That Mukaha means a person who is dumb. How can he say? It is like a dream dreamt by a dumb. How can he express? So you cannot say that. So some of the feelings are better to be kept as feelings and not to be expressed in words. You can see many of them, they came and told me, Maharaj, your talk was very nice, very nice, very nice. Only the very nice word only I am hearing. You don't have any other words to tell. Because your feeling, I understand your feeling. I am not deprecating it. But the feeling, you cannot put it in words. Because there are no words to express your emotion. You can at the most cry. You can at the most weep. Other than that, you can't do. So when Lord told this lady, you tell me what do you want in mouth by words, she had to take the method of vacha. Vacha. The vacha is always sometimes take us, give us trouble. That's what happened. She thought all these years she did tapasya for getting Lord as her son. Now she thought she has to put it in words, so thinking started. Emotions subsided. Intellect overcame. And intellect always a dangerous thing. Swamiji says, when intellect and emotion, that is, when buddhi and heart are in tenterhooks, then follow the heart, Swamiji says. So she followed the, not the heart, but the intellect. So she said, oh Lord, I want you to be born as my son in my next birth. Then she added, nobody asked her to add anything. She would have stopped. She added, if that is not possible, oh Lord, at least for a few seconds. What a pity, you know. Why she should think if it is not possible for the Lord? She is talking to the Lord and who is all powerful, omnipotent. Omnipotent person, you are telling, oh, if it is not possible, why? She felt ashamed. Such a Lord of this universe, I am asking him to be born to me as my son. First thing, is that good demand? Is it proper demand to ask Lord? Lord is the Lord of the universe. And I am trying to tell him to come to me as my son, making a small baby. Is it proper for me to ask? That is the doubt came into her mind. So she said, if it is not possible, at least for a few seconds be with me as my son. So the Lord appeared on this night, wonderful Ashtami night. He appeared before her. As Lord Bhagavatam says, Sri Hari appeared before Devaki in four arms. She has not given birth to him. In four arms he appeared with the Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. And he says, well, Devaki, do you remember your past birth? You don't. I tell you, what was your past birth? What did you demand? So I have come to be with you for a few seconds. So I will be now born to you. And he entered into her. The light, the effulgent light of Sri Hari entered into her. She felt she is pregnant. Already she has passed 9 months. All in seconds. You know, the whole yuga can be a nimisha, as Swami B was explaining to us. It was all done in 1 second. And then she felt she has to now deliver the baby. And she delivered. And the baby was born. And that was Sri Krishna. Only few seconds. But then she delivered him. And that status is not given to any other woman. So Devaki Paramanandam, Krishna Mande Jagadguru. That Krishna, that Jagadguru Krishna, we bow down to that Krishna who gave the supreme bliss to Devaki by coming to her as a son. And that Devaki was so happy, but then only for a few seconds. Immediately after that, you know the story, how Sri Krishna was taken and then gone to Yashoda. Here another story begins of the past life. Yashoda also was like Devaki, praying to Lord, "Oh Lord, you must be born to me as my son." And what did Lord, when asked, "Hey, tell me, what do you want?" She also thought, the doubt came into her mind. Is it proper for me to ask the Lord of the universe to be born as a son to me? The doubt came into her mind. She said, "Oh Lord, I want you to be born as my son. If that is not possible, at least stay with me for 16 years as my son." So Lord fulfilled both of their wishes. Here he was born, few seconds he stayed with Devaki and went back to Yashoda, with whom he stayed for 16 years. So now you come to Yashoda's life. Yashoda was so much attached to Lord. Because Lord, you see, the Lord is Krishna. His name is Krishna. What is the meaning of Krishna? Akarshati. Akarshati iti Krishna. Akarshan. Karshati. Karshati means drawing towards himself. Attracting towards himself. That is called Karshan. So Akarshan is all round way that he is attracting you. Not only by your physique, not only by your mind, by your eyes, by your 5 senses. It, everything is put into Sri Krishna, is attracted. You want to take the baby in your hand, touch. You want to see the beauty. The beauty of Krishna was such, even Putana, who came to kill, she was stunned to see Krishna's beauty. And she could not stand that, "Oh, what a beauty, is the ethereal beauty. This beauty we have not seen any other baby in this world. Something, a beauty which is the past all our understanding." And that beauty was Krishna. And as he beauteous, you know, when Ram, in one place, Tulsidas explains the beauty of Mother Sita. He said, Mother Sita's hair was like the clouds, cumulus clouds. They are going to rain. How they are? Dark clouds. They are coming on the sky. You are seeing the clouds. Immediately the clouds came to Tulsidasi. They said, Sir, what are you comparing? You are comparing Mother Sita's hair to us? Don't do that. Then Tulsidas said, "Why? Why I should not compare? Because it's all black. Mother Sita's hair also was black. And it is wavy like clouds." Then the clouds told him, "No, sir. We are only chanik matra. Only for a few moments only we are this state. But Mother Sita's hair is not like that. It is the eternal beauty. So you cannot compare with this." So, okay. If he said, then he thought, "Let me compare Mother Sita's eyes with lotus flower. Pankajalai." Immediately lotus flowers came. They protested. "So you cannot compare with us? Why? Exactly her eyes are like that." He said, "No. Because we only wake up when the sun comes. And when the sun goes, we also close our eyes. But Mother Sita's eyes are not like that. they cannot be closed. They are always full arvind. It's always open, blossomed like. So you cannot compare with this. Like that, one after another, when he compares the beauty of Mother Sita with any object of the world, every object comes to him and protests to him. Then he says that Saundarya itself came as Sita. There is no comparison to beauty, no. You cannot compare Mother Sita's beauty with any other object of the universe, created objects of the universe. So the Saundarya, if there is Saundarya, and the Saundarya itself came as Mother Sita, then his mind also got settled. So likewise here, the Lord has come. He is attracting every one of us. That's why his name is Krishna. This Krishna was so wonderful. When he was growing up, along with the other gopas of that place, they all used to take their cows outside. You know, every day you have to take for grazing. The cows have to be, you know, if you keep, that's why you can, in cities you can't keep cows, etc. Because where you will take for grazing? There are no grass available. So the grazing you have to take. And these boys only used to take. These gopas and gopis, they used to take. So Krishna also used to go away. And Yashoda would come back the moment she hears the bells of the cows. You know, in those days, even if you go to Vrindavan now, you can see the cows, each cow has got given a bell. And the bell sound differs from the composition of the bell. Some bells may be small, some may be big, some may be made of bronze, some may be made of silver. Like the different varieties are there. So, when the sound comes, that sunad comes, immediately Yashoda, working in the kitchen, she would rush outside. Ah, my Krishna has come. Where is my Krishna? No, Krishna has not come. The next door neighbor's son has come. She is disappointed. She goes back. Again she is working. Again the cows, that bell sound she is hearing, she rushes out. My Krishna has come. Like that, 5-6 times gone every day. And she is seeing that Krishna has not come. Finally, at the sunset time, Goduli, they call it. You know Goduli, why they say it? When the cows are walking and returning back to their homes, at that time, the legs of the cows are touching the earth. And then, lot of mud is created, this dust is created. And the dust fills everywhere. So, Goduli. So, there's Goduli time. And that Goduli time has come. And Krishna finally returns. And Mother Yashoda was completely absorbed in Krishna's thought. She is immersed in thought of Krishna. That's why the Arati word comes here. And then she goes and takes her son and that little boy, very mischievous smile, and he comes and stands before her. And she looks at him. She cannot recognize her son. Why? The Goduli has created such a dust, the whole body is covered with dust. How can you recognize your son if his body is covered by dust? And all the gopas look alike same. You know, they are all Yadava community. All the Yadavas look alike same. And then she is saying, is he my son or neighbor's son? So she is looking. The doubt never leaves her. From the previous birth, the doubt is continuing. And she looks at the son and says, hey Krishna. And Krishna smilingly stands before her. And then she takes a bhati, a lamp. And she looks at the feet. And she sees so much of dust. Because they didn't have chappals and shoes, etc. So they have played in the sand. And then you see that so much of dust. And looking at the dust, oh, so much dust is there. She slowly raises her lamp to his chest. Chest is full of dust. And she goes to the face. And when she shows to the face, three times she comes nearer to the face. Eyes, ears, nose, lips. And she sees that all covered by dust. Ah, my child, so much of dust is on you. I must clean you now. She puts down the lamp. By the time, her servant has brought a bucket full of water. She takes the buckets of water and pours on him, one after another, cleans him nicely. And then, water has fallen on him. Krishna is still smiling and standing there. and the entire dust is all removed from the body. Now he is shining. He is a black gold. Shining. And then in that shining, she saw him. Oh, now I have made my son so wet, he will get cold. Immediately, you know, mother's heart. Immediately she takes a new fresh Turkish towel. And then wipes all the water from him, dries him out. And she puts the towel now. Now she says, what to do? Now the fragrance has to be given. She brings a lot of flowers and garlands. She puts those garlands and flowers on him from the feet. She goes on touching his whole body with the flowers, making him fragrant. And then she looks at him. By the time, he's perspiring. So she takes the fan and starts fanning him. And this is Arati to Sri Krishna. And the same thing we follow now. We take for the first thing, if you see Swami here doing Arati, you can see, first he takes the lamp. And three times at the feet portion, he moves. And then he goes to the chest three times. Again to the face three times. And comes down, and then three times the whole body. He is Yashoda at that time. And he is Ramakrishna, is Krishna before him. Can you feel that love towards him? Five tools, I said, these are the five tools, five elements, perfectly understandable. But the elements have or lost the elementary emotion. But when you think in this way, then you feel each element gets some importance. And the fire element has come in my hand. I am taking the fire and then doing that arati. What I should feel? Krishna is standing before me. My Ishta Devata, my deity is standing before me with full of dust. I am seeing him and seeing the beauty. And then, once it's over, water. And the water is not an ordinary water. It is a shank water, you know. We have a puja. It's called special argya. It's called special argya. And in that special argya is done in the shank. And the shank is given that water with Gangesha, Yamuna, Chaiva, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmade, Sindhu, Kaveri, Jalesmin, Sannidhim, Kuru. In this water, oh, supreme seven rivers, you please come and take your seat here. We invite these seven rivers. And then you take that. And then that water is there. It's a consecrated water, it is called. And with that water that you take and you show around his body, as if mentally thinking, you are pouring the water on the deity and making him a good bath. If you have the feeling that your deity is before you, and you, what you would do? If Krishna comes to us tonight in our home, what you will do? Just imagine. Your hairs will stand on end. You do not know what to do. Like the two ladies, when they received Sri Ramakrishna, they didn't know what to do. They are moving here, there. Ramakrishna has come into the home and they didn't know what to do with the Lord. The Lord has come into our home. Whether to ask him to get seated or to bring something for him to eat. They didn't know anything. That lady, she was so upset that she didn't know. She was only moving from one place to another place. That is how it happens. When the Lord comes to you, when Krishna comes to you, what you will do? So with that, giving him a good bath. These are all mentally to be conjured up in your mind so that when you do arati in your home, you may have a small Bal Gopal or Thakur's picture is there and you do simple arati. Even only one deep arati you do, only the fire. Which fire is always considered as an indication to all the other four elements. So in fire everything is there. So that fire if you take and do only deep arati, at that time also you must consider this, that Lord is present before me. And to him I do this arati. Not to the picture. Picture can be removed today. Tomorrow it can be removed. But not to the picture. The Lord is present. It's not a mere statue that you are seeing here. He is present in life. and to him I am doing this arati. So likewise, when you think of this water, and then after the water, we give cloth. As I told you, cloth represents akasha, akasha tattvam. So this akasha tattvam, because it is representing, because inside every thread there is a space, that's why it's called akasha. So with that you dry. This devotional attitude towards arati is something wonderful. It is written in that Sri Ramakrishna's Puja Paddhati book. It is an English translation has come up. If you can read that in blue book, it's such a wonderful. There clearly it's mentioned, the story is also mentioned there, how the Puranic way of interpretation of this arati came from Krishna's story. And then you take flowers. Flowers are they representing the earth, because earth has got the Gandha. This Gandha Tattva comes from earth. Only in earth you will find this smell. You know, when suddenly the rains come and then that our bhumi has become wet, and you know there is a smell comes out from the earth. Such a beautiful smell, you know, in village side I have enjoyed a lot. Suddenly the rains have poured and the smell comes from the earth. Such a beautiful smell. I like that. So any type of smell comes from the earth. Earth element is there. And after this, then chamar. Chamar is fan, as I said. Wind is activated. So these five elements, five tools are in our hands. But more than the five tools to worship him, to love him, there is another tool in our heart, and that is our heart, our emotion. Do we anytime attach the emotion to our puja? If I ask you, how many times have you wept sitting before Sri Ramakrishna? I am not asking answers to this question. I am just asking you to look within yourself, introspect, and ask yourself, have you ever wept? You will say, no. Most of us will say, no, we have not wept. We have wept for many other things. My own dear and near ones have passed away, we have wept. And we have wept for umpteen reasons. But have we wept for the Lord? That is what happened to the great sage Vyasdev. Maharishi Vyasdev he is called. And that Vyasdev, Namostute Vyasa Vishala Buddhe, Fullara Vindayata Patra Netra, Yena Toya Bharata Taila Purna Prajwalito Jnanamaya Pradipaha. We praise Lord our Vishnu, Vishnu's avatar, this Maha Vyasdev. He is called Veda Vyas. And this Veda Vyas, what he did, Vishala Buddhe, we say, a very vast Buddhi. Why is it called Vishala Buddhi? The knowledge of God is infinite. Hari Anant. Hari Katha Ananta. Tulsidas says. Hari Katha is Ananta. It means infinite. If Hari is infinite, any story about him also must be infinite. His qualities are infinite. So, infinite cannot be put into words. Such is the hugeness. And that hugeness was called Vedas. What are Vedas? Swamiji says, a Hindu by Vedas does not mean a book. It has got no front page, no last page. It is unending, anadi, unbeginning. There is no beginning. And it is ananta. Neither beginning nor ending. So the God's knowledge is infinite, and it is being extended from one after another. 5,000 years before somebody wrote, okay, now in 2018, there are some more knowledge has been accumulated by the experience of the sages and saints who came recently. And that knowledge is added into Vedas. Likewise, after 5,000 years, the experience of the humankind and the experience about the infinity will be go on expanding, because it is infinite. So this infinite knowledge, he had the guts to make it into four parts. He had that wonderful intelligence. And Rig, Yajur, Sama, Athar, four Vedas he created. These were classified by him, not created by him. He is classified by him. Such infinite knowledge of God, he classified into four parts. Not only this he did, 18 Puranas he wrote from Vishnu Purana onwards. 18 Puranas. He didn't never rest after that. He thought this is not enough. Then another 18 Upamahapuranas he wrote. 36 Puranas writing is not easy. One Purana, you just take it. Gita Press has published each Puranas. It's a big, big book. And what are the knowledge? Is such a knowledge has been put into Puranas. And in simple stories for us, you know, foolish people we are, for us to understand. We can't understand high philosophy. So what to do? Put it in story form. Put it in smaller, in a very beautiful way, so that we can grasp it. And then one day, when we spiritually progress, we may be able to understand those high philosophies. Till that time, let us have the stories, we play with the stories. So the Puranas came into existence for ordinary people, for the masses. And doing all these things, still Vyasadeva was not satisfied. He was quite sitting, unsatisfied. His mind was hankering for something more. What is that he didn't know? Something is amiss in his life. At that time, Narad Maharishi comes. Narad Rishi says, "Hey Vyasadeva, you are a great man, Vishala Buddhi, and you are sitting like something has lost. What is the matter?" He said, "I do not know. If I know, I would have found out a method also to remove that. But I don't feel happy. I am not able to feel fullness. What I have done? In spite of my great learning, nothing has come to my help." Then Narad asked him, "Hey Vyasa, I will ask you one simple question. Have you ever shed tears for the Lord? Have you ever wept for him? Have you ever loved him?" "Yes, you have described God's glory in many, many ways. But have you ever felt the love for God? Have you ever wept?" He said, "No, no tears came into my eyes." I said, "Then how you will have shanti? Asantasya kutha sukham?" Krishna asked, "Kutha sukham? Where is pleasure if you are having ashanti?" So that is what Narad asked him. Write the glory of Lord, so that when you write this, when you yourself weep, and people who read this will shed tears, and that will bring the peace and happiness to you. And he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. That was the last work that Vyasadeva did. And Bhagavatam, till today, you read it, you shall shed tears. Such wonderful stories are there about the glory of Hari. Krishna's story comes only in the end. And before that, it's a Hari Vansh, it's called. Hari Vansh, Hari's lineage. How Hari comes in different yugas, in different forms, from the first avatar. And then he goes on playing in this world. And the story is still continuing. It is not ended. So, you can see that the love for God is an important emotion that we are not developing. We have taken initiation. We have come to the Ramakrishna Mission. We are very happy to come to the ashram. Serve the sadhus, particularly feeding sadhus, in spite of declaring myself diabetes, still that lady brought with the sweet. And she said, "I have put spenda in this to console me." So with all that, we are doing everything. But think of that. Do we have love for our Lord? Can we any time silently sit? In South Africa, when I was there, in our temple, we have a statue little bigger than this, a Ramakrishna statue. And I have seen devotees coming quietly, sitting before the Lord and weeping. One white lady used to come at 3:30. Because our temple doesn't close. There from morning 6 o'clock to evening 7 o'clock, we keep it open. So it is open. And the lady would come. I would come to office at 4 o'clock. And then one day she wanted an appointment with me. So I gave her. And she said, every day I come here at 3 o'clock. And before 4 o'clock I leave, Swamiji, I have not met you. I said, okay, it's all right. Then she was telling her problem that she sits there and unknowingly tears fall. She doesn't know why she is weeping. She says, I can't decipher. I can't understand why the tears are coming. Only in this temple, when I sit before Sri Ramakrishna, I shed tears. Tears just roll on. I said, it's very good. Well, I am jealous of you because I don't get tears. You are getting tears. You are a wonderful person. You are blessed indeed. Then I told this story of Lord Vyasa. Said, how you are blessed? It is not easily available to humankind to weep for God. If you can weep for God, your emotion has now blossomed. You see, that is the level that we should think of reaching. Not merely coming and doing bhajan and going away. That is not enough. That is necessary. I don't deprecate again. But you must try to progress in spiritual life by reaching some of these levels which our ancients speak about. This weeping for God is very necessary. Emotion. Think of Sri Ramakrishna's life. What an emotional upheaval was there when he became the Kali Pujari. Actually, Dakshineswar temple as if came only for him. It came long before the temple was constructed. Mother's statue was done. It was packed in a wooden case lying there. And Rasmani could not inaugurate it because the Pandits fought. They said, no, we will not come for the inauguration of this temple because you are born to a low caste. And she didn't know what to do. And the Murti is lying there. And suddenly she got a sense of a vision. And Mother Kali comes and says, how long will you keep me in this box? And she went and opened the box. And Mother Kali had perspiration. She wiped it with a nice cloth and said, Mother, I do not know. You resolve this problem because none of the Pandits are agreeing to it. And it was Ram Kumar who came out with a solution. Let her give this to Mother Kali's name. Let this be property of Mother Kali. Then which Pandit says, I will not come. I will come and do this inauguration. And he brought his younger brother Ramakrishna there. And Ram Kumar became a pujari. And the younger brother was moving around and just playing with so many things, with cats and rats. And this boy finally became, he was given the pujari because Ram Kumar had to go. He became pujari and he said, yes, I will worship Mother Kali, but you must reveal to me you are really there. I don't want to worship someone who is not existing. Do you exist? Or you are only a statue? If you show me that you exist, I'll be happy to worship you. So you reveal yourself to me. That is a prayer. Swami, be read it out in the end. Reveal yourself to me. I do not know you. Someone asked, I don't believe in God. How do you worship that? He said, no, you don't worship him. You ask the same God. Said, I don't believe in you. Reveal yourself to me. Because I don't believe. Because I have not known you. So intimations from God come to us. Every one of us. Undoubtedly I can tell you, every individual sitting in this hall today had some intimation from God. And that's why you became devotee. Otherwise you will be a nastika. You will be still arguing before others, there is no God. The very fact they have accepted the supreme principle, that is, Srishti Sthiti Vinashanam Shakti Bhute Sanatani Gunashraye Gunamayi Narayani Namosthiti. We say Srishti Sthiti Vinasha. These things are going on by the supreme power. Once you accept that, some incident has happened in your life. One intimation has come to you. And that intimation has come to you and you are convinced with it. Otherwise you won't be sitting here. So, the Lord is there, and if he is there, should he not love him as my own son? as my own father, as my own mother, as my own friend. And is there anything beyond this? Yes, there is something beyond that. Many devotees ask me, Swamiji, the relationship with my Ishta Devata, what is the parameter? How do I know that I am progressing in the relationship? I said, do you ever say, Tomeva Mata? Do you ever say, Chapita Tomeva? Do you ever say, Bandhuscha Sakha Tomeva? Tomeva Vidya Dravinam Tomeva? And the last one is reserved, I don't know for which Janma we are going to say, Tomeva Sarvam Amadeva Deva. Sarvam, everything you are, mine. You are everything to me. When are you going to say? Because we have not even learned to say, Tomeva Mata Cha. The first itself we have not come to. We don't consider Sri Ramakrishna as our mother, our holy mother as our mother. The God that you worship, do you consider that God as your mother? We have, in mundane matters, we have mother. We have biological mothers with us. We have seen our mothers, how much they love us, and we love them. Can we think and say our Ishta Devata as my mother? We have not even stepped into the first stage. Then Pita Cha Tomeva, then you are my father also. Then Tomeva Bandhuscha Sakha Tomeva, you are my relation, you are my friend. Tomeva Vidya, you are the learning. Whatever I have learned today, and by the dint of learning I am earning, that is you are. Dravinam Tomeva. And then last is Tomeva Sarvam Mamadeva Deva. So that idea has not come to us. So what type of relationship you have got with our Lord? Simply coming to the ashram and going away? Inside, in your heart of heart, what do you feel about your Lord? Is it possible for you to establish a relationship and then develop on that? So we are finding so difficult to do that. It is such a terrible path that we are unable to do. In spite of getting a good guru, in spite of getting a good mantra, in spite of getting all the facilities to worship, we could have been running in the road also. We could have been a houseless man also in the road. But then we have got all the facilities. In spite of getting all these facilities, what relationship I could, enduring relationship I could create with my Lord? This is a question. These are the questions that we must ask ourselves. And this type of attending retreats pave way for putting these questions and replying to these questions. Try to answer these questions in your own mind and find yourself where you are standing. If you are not anywhere near it, you must understand, you must start your journey right now. Right now. Otherwise, it's not possible. When you will start your journey? You cannot be stranded in one station. The train must move on. The life must go on. So you must stop somewhere and ask this question. And don't get stranded in the station. Let us get into the train and spiritual journey and let us move on. So with these few words, we had learnt that what is arati and what is the spiritual significance of arati is the emotional content to be introduced into arati, not mere technicality. Yes, you are taught, first you take the fire, that deepa, and then keep that cloth early. Everything, you arrange everything. That's the technicality of this. That is not enough. Even you may do expertly. There was one Swami in Belur Math, his arati, to see his performance arati, so crowd will come. A old Swami. And when he would stand, such a Ajanu Bahu, he was so tall, 6 feet tall, and very well built. And he would take the pradeep in his hand and he would start moving his hand. It was like a peaceful dance of Lord Shiva, like Nataraja's dance. You will enjoy that arati. Yes, all these things are necessary. But then you require something more and that is what the heart. He used to tell me, when I perform arati in Belur Math, I could actually visualize the Ramakrishna sitting on that lotus, Hridaya Kamala Madhye, Rajitam Nirvikalpam. We say, Sada Sada Kila Beda Atitam Ekaswarupam. Hridaya Kamala Madhye, there is a Kamal. What is that Kamal? Hridaya is the Kamal. Not there is a lotus flower within the heart. The heart itself is lotus flower. And in that lotus flower, here also you see, the lotus flower has been given. Over that Sri Ramakrishna is seated. So that is the heart. So in that heart of the lotus, that Sri Ramakrishna is seated. Rajitam, he is reigning. He has got all the powers in his hands. That's a Raja. Whom we call Raja? One who has got all the powers. He is called Raja. So Rajitam means he is doing, he is reigning. R-E-I-G-N-I-N-G. He is having all the powers of the universe. And that he is seated in my heart. So unless this idea comes to us, the relationship is established, we are not progressing. So one of the many people asked me, what are the parameters of progress? I asked this question, do you ever weep? That is the first question I ask. That is the first parameter. Well, if you are not wept for God, I would say you are not yet started. So first, accomplish this first parameter, then come to me for the second. Because I know, once he starts weeping for Lord, he need not come to me. The Lord will take him to the second step. So I'm so happy to have met all of you. And now, Ati Maharaj,
it's... And we'll have our tea and coffee break.
Tea and coffee break is there.
For half an hour.
For half an hour, okay. So 4:30 we shall meet?